Quicken.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
A New York mother trying to claim that her 3-year-old and 2-year-old died from asthma issues. The medical examiner says, no, it's murder. Here's the story.
The medical examiner found that 2-year-old Olivia G. and her 3-year-old brother Micah died last Sunday of blunt force trauma to their torsos. In layman's terms, the children apparently used as punching bags, but it's unclear by whom. So far, no arrests. Their mom's 31-year-old boyfriend, a reported gang member who is not the father, has been questioned, along with the mother. She blamed asthma for their deaths. Police still investigating. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
The state of Mississippi honoring the soldiers who were killed in a plane crash in their state. Here's Randy Bell.
Flags across Mississippi are flying at half staff today in memory of the Marines and the Navy corpsmen killed in this week's plane crash. Governor Bryant is also asking churches to remember the fallen troops during their Sunday services, and he's promising some sort of permanent memorial near the soybean field where the plane went down.
A monument, a plaque, in some way that when generations hence see it, they will remember that 16 of America's finest lost their lives in that bean field, and we will honor their memories forever.
The governor has declared the crash site an emergency area and says the state will continue providing assistance to the Marines for as long as necessary. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Get more news online at usaradio.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This is our opportunity to really make a difference on health care.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell trying to rally the troops when it comes to a new GOP health care plan in the Senate. However, a number of senators say they're not going to be voting in favor of it. McConnell plans to steam ahead anyway.
This is our chance to bring about changes we've been talking about since Obamacare was forced on the American people. It's our time to finally build a bridge away from Obamacare's failures and deliver relief to those who need it.
The president also sounding off on the GOP health care bill in the Senate. Trump took to Twitter saying, after all these years of suffering through Obamacare, Republican senators must come through as they have promised. He added that once a replacement health care bill is approved, he'll be waiting at his desk, pen in hand, ready to sign it into law. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul criticized the bill as not being that much different from Obamacare. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free. 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
$1.99, $1.99.
Penny here is trying to see how many ways she can say $1.99.
$199, 10 times 9. Plus.
Thankfully, there's only one way to say delicious deal. And that's Long John Silver's one-piece fish and fries for only $1.99. Come to Long John Silver's today for our delicious 100% Alaskan whitefish, hand-dipped, cooked to golden perfection, and served with natural-cut fries, all for only a little help here, Penny?
$1.99. Wow! $1.99?
Yes, Penny. Wow. Because at Long John Silver's, you deserve more.
Former President Jimmy Carter out of a Canadian hospital. Chris Barnes has details.
92-year-old Jimmy Carter out of a Canadian hospital after being treated on Thursday for dehydration. The nation's 39th president was rushed to the hospital after becoming ill while working on a Habitat for Humanity home in Winnipeg, Canada. His office says after his release, he returned to the home building site where he's working and now drinking plenty of water. I'm Chris Barnes.
Funeral arrangements are set for the young American man who was beaten to death in Greece. The family of 22-year-old Bakari Henderson scheduled a memorial service tonight and funeral in Austin, Texas tomorrow. According to police, Henderson was beaten to death in a bar brawl last Friday on a Greek island. Surveillance video from the bar shows a man and then a group attacking Henderson. At least 8 people have been arrested in connection with the murder. And back-to-school spending may hit an all-time high this school year. The National Retail Federation says college spending could set a new record. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.12%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
A New York mother trying to claim that her 3-year-old and 2-year-old died from asthma issues. The medical examiner says, no, it's murder. Here's the story.
The medical examiner found that 2-year-old Olivia G. and her 3-year-old brother Micah died last Sunday of blunt force trauma to their torsos. In layman's terms, the children apparently used as punching bags, but it's unclear by whom. So far, no arrests. Their mom's 31-year-old boyfriend, a reported gang member who is not the father, has been questioned. Along with the mother, she blamed asthma for their deaths. Police still investigating. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
The state of Mississippi honoring the soldiers who were killed in a plane crash in their state. Here's Randy Bell.
Flags across Mississippi are flying at half staff today in memory of the Marines and the Navy corpsmen killed in this week's plane crash. Governor Bryant is also asking churches to remember the fallen troops during their Sunday services, and he's promising some sort of permanent memorial near the soybean field where the plane went down.
A monument, a plaque, in some way that when generations hence see it, they will remember that 16 of America's finest lost their lives in that bean field, and we will honor their memories forever.
The governor has declared the crash site an emergency area and says the state will continue providing assistance to the Marines for as long as necessary. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the leading figure of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. For all volunteers and all our programs.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon on this bright and sunny, whoops, forgot, rainy Friday afternoon. And it's a few minutes after 4, and this is the weather for the weekend. Now, it said 90% chance of rain today. Guess what? they missed the prediction. If you haven't had downpours, really, they said showers. This has hardly been showers, at least in northern part of Hunterdon County. As far as Phillipsburg and east, it was just a deluge. And in fact, be careful if you're going through areas where there may be flooding, because it has started in some areas to flood. Always be careful about driving through water on the highway. It really can be much deeper than you think, especially when you're going under an overpass and it may be a dip in the road. So unless you have a Citroen, and I'm sure there are very few people any longer who have Citroens, be very careful. And sometime in the future, I'll tell you why with a Citroen you can just go through all that water. But anyway, I am Pat Smits. It's Friday. The program, It's the Law. And let me tell you the rest of the predictions for the week. Well, tonight we're supposed to have a 40% chance of showers, maybe much more than that. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high of about 86 degrees. So the best day, of course, this weekend is going to be Sunday. Sunny, high of near 86 degrees. By Sunday night, partly cloudy. And into Monday, there is a chance of showers, about a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Excuse me, on Monday. And then mostly sunny, high of about 85 degrees. So as I said, the chance of precipitation is about 40%. By Monday night, another chance of thunderstorms, about a 40% chance of thunderstorms. And then into Tuesday, we have about a 50% chance of thunderstorms. So I will just be back in a minute after I bring you some information from some of our sponsors. And, then we'll talk about some of the cases and things that are happening in the law.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, let's get back to the program today. I am going to talk about a case that should be of interest to veterans who believe they might be able to receive a tax benefit in New Jersey, a real estate tax benefit based on... I don't have that case with me. I thought I did. I'll take a look during a break. But this was a the case that I am thinking about, or that at least I have to talk to you about, since I wanted to have my notes in case I have questions. I did find the case that I was thinking of. This was an appellate division decision approved for publication on July 7th. And the appeal was from the Tax Court of New Jersey. So that when there are appeals from the tax court, it does go to the appellate division. Now, the opinion, the tax court opinion, is reported at 29 NJ Tax 91. It's a tax court opinion from 2016. So this is the situation. The plaintiff in this case, actually plaintiffs, appealed from a tax court order denying a personal residence real estate tax exemption that is granted by the legislature to certain disabled veterans. Now, in the opinion, they're only referring to the wife as a plaintiff, meaning that's the person who brought the case. However, they recognized her husband is also a plaintiff and has joined in the appeal. So in its written opinion, the tax court judge reviewed the statute, meaning the New Jersey statute, and concluded that the city of Millville correctly denied plaintiff's request for an exemption. So remember, this is a statute that the legislature has granted certain disabled veterans an exemption. So the tax court opinion was reported at 29 NJ Tax 91, and that, as I said, was a tax court opinion in 2016. Now, the tax court judge found that although the plaintiff is completely disabled as a result of her military service, that her injuries did not occur, and this is a quote, in direct support, end quote, of military operations in Afghanistan. And that's what was required to claim the disabled veteran's personal residence tax exemption under the statute. Not that you had to be in Afghanistan, but I'll explain that a little more on later in my discussion. So the plaintiff challenged the judge's interpretation of the statute as incorrect. And the appellate division said that they were not persuaded and they affirmed what the tax court did. So in this case, the tax court's review resulted from cross motions for summary judgment, meaning that both sides, both the plaintiff and the city of Millville, filed in the tax court, and both of them asked for summary judgment, meaning that they felt there was no issue and that the court could rule without a trial. So what happened is there is a, what the parties did in this case is there was a joint statement of stipulated material facts, and this is why, and this is the basis on which this appeal was decided. So there was no question that in October of 2002, plaintiffs suffered injuries during an Army training exercise when she fell from a two-story building at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. Now, the injuries did not preclude her continued military service, and after that, she was transferred to Fort Stewart, Georgia in 2003, where she was assigned to a unit scheduled to deploy to Afghanistan. However, in light of her injuries, the plaintiff was not sent overseas. Instead, she remained at Fort Stewart, and she was assigned to what they called a rear detachment for her unit in Afghanistan. So her unit went to Afghanistan, but she stayed behind. And they talk about her role and her military duties and what they included. And that was all stipulated. But it's not really that significant for the decision. So the Army honorably discharged her in 2003, and in May of 2014, she was declared 100% disabled by the United States Department of Veteran Affairs. Now, there was no explanation between her discharge and the disability certification. So that, as I said, she was discharged back in 2003, and then it wasn't until May of 2014 that she was declared 100% disabled. And the court noted, the appellate division noted, there was no explanation for the 11-year gap between her discharge and the disability certification. The parties both agreed, meaning the plaintiff and defendant, agreed that the trial court had found that her disability was a result of her military service. So that wasn't the issue. Both sides agreed she was injured, she was personally, she was disabled and permanently disabled, and it was a result of her military service. So she applied, submitted an application to the town claiming that her disabled veterans property tax exemption, so that she claimed that she was entitled to it, and there is in fact a statute, and that's N period J period S period A period 54:4-30. NJSA 54:4-3.30. And what happened in the case is the tax assessor in Millville City issued a notice of disallowance to the plaintiff. And she thereafter appealed to the Cumberland County Board of Taxation, and they concluded that the exemption was properly denied. And at that point, she appealed to the tax court, which conducted a hearing on the parties' respective motions for summary judgment. So remember, she filed an appeal and filed for summary judgment saying that the statute covered her and that the city of Millville should give her the exemption. Millville said that she was not entitled to the exemption under the statute. And what happened then is when the trial court analyzed the requirements for the exemption, the trial court concluded that her injury was not suffered, quote, in direct support, end quote, of military operations in Afghanistan. Therefore, he denied her motion and granted the city of Millville's motion for summary judgment. So then the case went up on appeal. She filed an appeal, and the appellate court reviewed an order granting summary judgment, applying the same standard guiding the trial judge. And they did that based on the standard, which is summary judgment will be granted if there is no genuine issue of material fact and the moving party is entitled to a judgment or order as a matter of law. So that's when someone files a complaint in the trial division, there can be summary judgment. Either side can move for summary judgment. So as I said, in this case, the judge concluded that the city of Millville was entitled to summary judgment. There was no issue. So the issue presented is a legal question. Remember, not a factual question, but a legal question requiring the examination of the statutory interpretation. And what happens is, of course, appellate courts do interpret statutes de novo, meaning they start over if it's a legal question. And the court goes on to, of course, cite different cases, but basically it is well settled that the goal of statutory interpretation is to ascertain and effectuate the legislature's intent. So in other words, when the court is looking at a statute and interpreting it, they have to ascertain what the legislature intended. And there are many cases that talk about that. In most instances, the best indicator of the intent is the plain language of the statute. In other words, the plain language chosen by the legislature, which is, of course, one of the reasons why statutes need to be very precise so that they can't be subject to interpretation depending on what you want the statute to say. But when the statute is clear, if the language of a statute is clear on its face, then the sole function of the courts is to enforce it. And so that's important. In other words, if a statute, you know, if the third grader can read a statute and say, well, that means X, Y, then the courts have no business to do anything other than enforcing X, Y. So then the important thing is what, in fact, does the statute provide? Because they have to interpret that statute. So in New Jersey, the enactment of the statute embodies the state constitution's authorization to adopt statutes granting veterans tax exemptions. So, in fact, our New Jersey Constitution does, in fact, permit the legislature to do exactly that. And that's our Constitution that was enacted in 1947. So the legislation provides under NJSA 54:4-3.30, that the dwelling house and the lot, I'm going to just read the specific important part of this, of any citizen and resident of this state who is honorably discharged from active service, and then some things are important, in the time of war from any branch of the armed services or armed forces, who has been or shall be declared by the United States Veterans Administration from other service-connected disability declared by the United States Veterans Administration to be total or 100% disabled. So that's, you know, that's what it provides. The legislature has provided for two types of property tax benefits for veterans. The first is a partial deduction for veterans honorably discharged who served in, quote, active service at the time of war, and a total exemption for veterans honorably discharged who served in, quote, active service in the time of war, end quote, and who have been declared disabled as a result of their service. Now, the question, of course, what do they mean by active service in the time of war? Well, that, in fact, is defined by the statute, and it's used to determine eligibility for both the ordinary and disabled veterans exemptions. So, under the statute, entitlement to an exemption from real property taxes for a dwelling that the person lives in, requires a party to provide that, first, they're a citizen and resident of this state, makes sense, obviously, and two, now or hereafter honorably discharged or released under honorable circumstances. Yes, of course, they're not going to give somebody a tax break if they've been dishonorably discharged. And that has to be from active service in the time of war, so can't be during years where there's not active time of war. And it's from, fourth is from any branch of the armed forces of the United States. And then five, which is of course important, who has been or shall be declared by the United States Veterans Administration or its successor. They tend to put those things in statutes because otherwise if they change the name of the United States Veterans Administration to another name, the statute would not apply. And they have to be have a service-connected disability and a total or 100% permanent disability. And this is important, that was sustained through enemy action, comma, or accident, comma, or resulting from disease contracted while in such active service. So that is, that's the entitlement under the statute. Well, then why didn't this woman, why isn't she entitled? Well, because the only question here is whether she satisfied the element three. And that element three is whether her disability resulted from active service in the time of war. Now, on this issue, the court remained mindful that taxation is the rule, and the claimant, the person claiming that he or she is entitled to the exemption, bears the burden of proving an exemption. And that's through a number of cases that are not necessarily related to the military. But if, in fact, that's the issue, the court has to take in consideration that taxation is the rule. And most of us who live in New Jersey certainly know that it's a rule. So in his written opinion, the tax court judge detailed the historic changes in the constitutional provisions directed to to veterans' tax benefits, and also the legislature's adaptation to these amendments. So the judge reviewed the amendments and allowed relief to veterans who suffered 100% disability, quote, in the time of war or other emergency. So that the phrase, and this is important, what does active service in the time of war mean? Well, as used in the statute in New Jersey, it's defined, in fact, it is a defined term, and which means periods of time set forth in the statute. And the legislature listed 16 separate military conflicts, starting with the Civil War up to the Operation Iraqi Freedom that they said encompassed within the definition of active service in the time of war. Now, they use that to discern the eligibility of disabled veterans seeking tax exemption, a tax exemption as deductions. So now many of these provisions and periods of war, of course, or conflict, are defined, basically from the beginning, and they will be defined with a beginning date and an ending date during which the disability insurance must occur. And that's regardless of the cause. So describing the treatment of service and disability during the Vietnam and Korean conflicts as an all-encompassing approach, which only required service during a conflict. However, the more recent military conflicts are more narrowly circumscribed. So the applicable to this plaintiff and her time of service is the following. Well, the operation, what they called Enduring Freedom, on or after September 11th, 2001, who served in a theater of operation and in direct support of that operation for a period continuously or in the aggregate of at least 14 days in which active service commencing on or before the date the President of the United States or the United States Secretary of Defense designates as the termination date of that operation. And, of course, that's provided that any person receiving an actual service-incurred injury or disability while engaged in such service. So you can't just come up without collecting disability from the military and say that you want the exemption from real estate taxes. And if necessary, if you want to see all of the periods that they defined as conflict, look at the case. It's Fisher versus City of Millville. And as I said, it was just published on July 7th, 2017. So it will take some time before it gets into the law books. So So as I said, the case does talk about each one of the conflicts that someone who's injured should be able to collect a pension, as long as all the other facts are accurate. Well, actually, I have a little bit more to talk about on this case, so let me bring a give you a commercial. And I just think it's an important case to understand from the standpoint not only of, you know, who might qualify as a disabled, totally disabled veteran, and it also I think confirms how difficult some of these cases can be and how easily they can be misinterpreted, especially by the media, because this is very precise. She was, in fact, in this case, this woman was defined, could be defined, somebody who took this, in this case, you know, there's no question that the woman served. There was a war going on in Afghanistan. It's just that she did not, was not injured in Afghanistan. If she'd been doing the same job, but doing it in Afghanistan, the outcome would have been different. But let me just go to a couple commercials or spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back. And I'm not sure we get a Pambi commercial today, but I can tell you we're regulars at Pambi, and sometimes what we have to stop doing is going there before supper. But let me bring a few spots from the sponsors, and then we'll be back, and I'll talk more in depth about this case.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
We're back. It's the law. I'm your host, Pat Smits, an attorney here in Hunterdon County. And believe me, I don't do any tax work. One of the things that anyone, however, who is using a statute as attorneys, we learn that you have to be very careful because it's easy to misinterpret a statute if you don't look at all of the definitions, etc. And that's what happened here because there's a definition in the statute with respect to active service. And That was it's detailed with respect to what that means and what of these periods of conflict are defined either temporarily with a beginning and an end date. They're very, very specific, but the disability that occurred during Vietnam and the Korean conflicts, for example, it's an all-encompassing approach which only required service during a conflict. However, more recent military conflicts are more narrowly circumscribed. In other words, if you were injured, depending on the definition, whether or not it's if you served during a period of war, for example, in the war in Vietnam, you may not have had to serve actually in Vietnam to qualify. But what we need to do here is what is in fact the applicable way to look at this statute based on where the plaintiff served. And in the court said, because these recent military conflicts are more narrowly circumscribed, you have to look at it. And the what this statute now says is that enduring freedom on or after September 2001, the person who served in a theater of operations and in direct support of that operation for a period continuously or in the aggregate of at least 14 days in such active service commencing on or before the date the President of the United States or the United States Secretary of Defense designates as the termination date of that operation. However, it provided that any person receiving an actual service incurred injury or disability while engaging in that service shall be classed as a veteran whether or not that person completed the 14 days service. So that, of course, the court concluded that the plaintiff's service in Georgia is incompatible with the statute's requirements for service, quote, in a theater of operation and in direct support of that operation. And they didn't really deal with this issue. But the, as I said, the definition of active service in time of war, so in times of war, that requires service after September 11th, 2001, and service in a, quote, theater of operation and in direct support of that operation, and three, service incurred injury or disability while engaged in such service. So in other words, if somebody served in Afghanistan, came back to this country, and was on a military base and received injuries, in fact, permanent injuries, they would not be entitled to this exemption. So the Appellate Division concluded that by its clear terms, the statute requires service in the specific or specified geographic area and also, of course, to provide proof of disability results from such service in that geographical area. So in this case, the plaintiff tried to refute the trial judge's conclusion that the statutory definition is more constrictive and maintains the series of amendments, adding various conflicts over time, was intended to expand to availability of relief for military missions, not just declared wars. And further, she urges the legislature abandon the requirement that the military service occur, quote, in expressly defined geographic locales. Now, she said that even while this is true, the amendment expanded the benefits to veterans disabled on designated military conflicts, keeping step with the Constitution's amendments. So the constitutional amendment, she said that they needed to keep step with the Constitution's amendment to authorize the legislature covering elements, quote, in the time of war or other emergency. However, the court rejected the plaintiff's suggested interpretation of benefits and the suggestion that the benefits were to be entered without regard to the geographic limitations. So they said that under the circumstances, the definition of wartime service or active service in a time of war, that definition of active service in the time of war limits the ability of the limits the eligibility of those injured, quote, in a theater of operations and in direct support of that operation. So they did, there was a geographic requirement that was in fact purposeful, and the tax court ruled it is too plain to require extended discussions that members of the military who are physically able and physically present on the battlefield during a military conflict serve in that conflict or serve in that theater of operations. So you, as long as you're there, in other words, I think that's what they're talking about. They don't want to just pick up somebody who didn't have a very precise injury that is, in fact, covered. So the plaintiff then next asserted that her unit was stationed in a combat zone, which is true. Nobody denied that. And her service was in direct support of that a combat unit that performs miracles. So we go on, and they said that the statute does not define theater of operations, nor does the statute define direct support, so that this isn't a closed issue. But by and large, they said that the plaintiff is not presenting a balanced interpretation. So let's play one more spot, and I'll come back and finish up this case, because it really is very important.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Okay, we're back. I'm still talking about the case on tax exemption under the statute in New Jersey. The exemption was enacted by the legislature to allow disabled veterans who are 100% disabled, who were injured and disabled as a result of serving in active duty in a theater of operations within the meaning of the statute. And that's where this plaintiff ran into a brick wall. And although she did, in fact, assert that her unit was stationed in a combat zone, that her services were in direct support of that combat unit, even though she provided them here in this country. She relied on prior tax court rulings and believes that they are more typical of the modern requirement determining direct support can occur far from the actual battlefield. So she said that she was actively supporting her unit even though she was stateside in Georgia. So she also cited another case, a tax court case, where the plaintiff urges, and based on that, a more balanced interpretation of the statute than the one provided by the tax court. Now, she also contends that she was exposed to the experience of war and was disabled as a consequence of that war, even though she was injured stateside. And so she said that as a matter of policy, she should be entitled to reinstate. So what we've done here is we've pretty clearly, I think, the court has shown, at least the judges on this panel has shown, that something is going to be decided, and probably without a plenary hearing, if the judge writes a well-written and well-conceived opinion. So the court also found that her proofs did not, and her arguments did not sustain the day. Court also said that they were mindful that the tax exemption statutes are strictly construed against those claiming exemption because of the compelling public policy that all property should bear. So that pretty well wraps that up. The court did distinguish them from the facts in the Wellington case, and very interesting if anyone believes out there that there should be changes made in other statutes if things have not been followed, follow up on it, because statutes are changed often. In fact, sometimes it's very difficult to keep up with some of the statutory changes, even as attorneys. So that, that really is probably not going to apply to many people. Actually, this is a statute we should hope doesn't apply to any person, because it means that they're 100% or totally disabled. So one of the things I will talk about next week is there was a you know, everyone has to be careful. Everyone has to get, if there's anything at all serious, you know, we have to talk about these things in a way that, you know, they are understandable and that make people understand that when these issues come up, they really need to see an attorney who's well-versed in that subject area. Because, for example, I know very, very little about ice cream purchases in, you know, certain, I don't know, I'm kind of talking off the top of my head and I lost my train of thought. But my point is, you go to an attorney who specializes in that area of law. And for most things under military law, you really do need a specialist attorney. Now, I definitely handle, since I do matrimonial cases, I definitely handle custody cases and other matrimonial cases when someone else may be on the other side. I mean, very often I'm contacted by military guys who are outside of New Jersey, and I'm able to either help them, send them somewhere else, or, you know, figure out that they don't have a case. But the point is, it's very important to have preliminary information. For example, I mean, you can just go so wrong if you don't have the preliminary information, or in the case of the military, if you don't accurately report the information, because I'm concerned that people might try to scam or are going to scan the rest, you know, they're going to scan, and they just need to make sure that when they scan a statute that they've done it accurately. So I will talk next week. Most likely I'll fill you in on another case, and this is from the Supreme Court, and it has to, and it deals with open public records. In fact, I was going to talk more about that today, but I guess we are winding down without giving me the opportunity to do so. So in this case, the case I'm thinking about is North Jersey Media Group, Inc. versus the Township of Lyndhurst. And the appeal in this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, Justice Rabner, and it explored the scope of the Orange Public Records Act, OPRA, and its exemption for criminal investigatory records and records of investigations in progress, as well as the common law goal of white. The common law right of access. So this is very often there's a newspaper, newspapers involved. Some media is involved because they've been trying to get information, and they would basically say that they have not been able to get the information, even though it should be public records. So I will bring you the news, the wrap up the last spot, and bring you the news, and then we'll be back with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I have my doubts that we're going to complete all of these things that we've
iterated by July.
Members of the House Freedom Caucus calling on Paul Ryan to cancel the August recess because work just isn't done. Here's Freedom Caucus member Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona.
I was one of the original people bringing up this idea that we haven't done our work. We don't need to go home until we get our work done. And that means with the budget, that means with health care, that means with getting a strong start on the tax, and also the debt ceiling.
Two people are now facing charges in the murders of four young men in Pennsylvania. Bucks County DA Matthew Weintraub told reporters today Sean Kratz of Northeast Philadelphia has been taken into custody. Cosmo DiNardo was already behind bars for the killings, admitting that he had participated in the murders. In a